Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Tonight, we have the incredible privilege from hearing from the mother of our house and our incredible senior pastor, Pastor Christy Lee. So why don't we give her a huge welcome tonight.
You can take your seats. Merry Christmas. How good is it? 3 days till Christmas. Give me a big wave if you are ready. Oh, I'm not jealous at all. Give me a big wave if you, like me, are totally not ready. Oh, praise the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. That scripture still applies for the 23rd and the 24th. And I'm going to be standing on the word in Jesus' name when it comes to the mad scramble and rush. I can't believe it's this time of year. I can't believe we're heading into Christmas, but we're here and it is good. Amen? Yeah. Who's ready for the word of God tonight? Can we pray before we get into it? Father, we just thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're here by your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you've already come in such a powerful way through that beautiful praise and worship. And just, I know you're already doing what you do in this room, Father. And I just pray that you would continue under the preaching of the word and under, Lord, the extension of that time of ministry, Father, that you would continue to work in every heart that's in this room, Father God, that you would have your will, Lord God, that you would have your way, Father God, that you would do what you are wanting to do. We do pray kingdom come. We do pray your will be done, that it would be this evening on earth as it is in heaven, Father God, that something about what we do would touch your heart, Father, that we would leave this room tonight just a little bit more in love with Jesus, a little bit more passionate about your gospel message and who you are, Father, that this Christmas we would truly behold you. I move myself out of the way. I just ask Holy Spirit that you'd take over the service. And we pray it in faith, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. We have been having this conversation in this season about what it is to behold, about what it is to take another look at Jesus. And I don't think it's just a message of relevance, right, for the people that don't know Jesus. I don't think it's just a message that is relevant for people outside of the four walls of the church. I think that idea of behold, take another look at Jesus, is a relevant message to us, to this room, to people who, the majority of these people in this room would probably call yourself a Christian, would probably call yourself somebody that knows Jesus. And if you don't call yourself someone that knows Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of my message tonight to get to know Jesus. And that's going to be a powerful moment if that decision is the decision that you make tonight. But the people in this room would know Jesus. And yet to say, behold, take another look at him, is still a relevant message, because who knows that our attention can easily drift? Who knows that we can easily get distracted as we contend with the day-to-day challenges and realities of life? You know, every day is around us and around our atmospheres a competition for our attention. You know what I'm saying? You know, every day comes to us with different challenges and different media and different stimuli and just a bombardment of different real life situations that all vie for our attention. They all want our focus. And at any given point in time, we need to realize and recognize that there's always two realities at play. There's always two realities. There's always the temporal reality. We understand that that's what we see with our physical eyes and the things we feel. It's everything that kind of pertains to our earthly existence and the material existence, but we understand it is temporal, right? In other words, it is fading away. It's not gonna last. But at the same time, at any given point in time, there is another reality. And although we can't see it with our physical eyes, it is always present. It is even a superior reality. That's the reality of God. It's the reality of eternity. It's a reality that is a spiritual reality. And we access that reality. We access God's reality, not by what we see, not by like mentally ascending to it necessarily. Not, it's definitely not contingent on the way we feel. We access the reality of God by faith. Faith is the language of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that we walk according to faith, not according to the things that we see. And yet, the things that we see are always trying to steal our attention and steal our focus and shift our focus and get us out of faith so that our primary attention is really mostly given to the things that we see and to this earthly reality and not so much to a consciousness of God. You know what I'm saying? I call it this competition for our attention and that decision who or what will actually get our focus. What gets our focus? And even at Christmas, you know, when the whole celebration is supposed to be about Jesus, and when we say things like Jesus is the reason for the season, and yet it's very easy to make it about so many other things, right? We don't do that maliciously. I don't think it's in anyone's heart to do that maliciously, but life is just so full. Put your hand up if you've been to some sort of graduation, wind-up, end-of-year party, Christmas party, work party sort of thing. That's like nearly everyone. Of course you have, because that's just part and parcel of the busyness of this kind of year. We would have all been busy, you know, present shopping, present wrapping, house preparing, garden preparing, yard preparing, and so on and so forth. And the list sometimes seems endless. None of those things are bad things. You know what I'm saying? None of them are bad things. They're actually good things. The risk is, though, that all these earthly things get the best of our attention and Jesus just gets a fleeting glance. That all of these things would get the best of our attention. Jesus just gets a tip of the hat. You know, who's heard that saying, familiarity breeds contempt, right? It's this phenomenon by when you're familiar with something, really close to something, or you know it well, and that familiarity that you have can actually lead to like a reduced honor and respect for the thing that you're familiar with. You know what I'm saying? We're all guilty a bit at times of becoming over familiar, maybe with the people in our household, you know, our spouse, our kids, our parents, whatever the case might be. We can be over familiar with our stuff, our house or whatever. And in that place of familiarity, the honor and respect just diminishes a bit. We don't give as much as we probably ought. And I want to say it can be the same with our salvation. It can be the same with Jesus and the beauty of his presence and the working of his spirit and even the wonder of his grace, that if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a place where we're over familiar, even with him, and a place where our attention would drift and our distraction would be present, where we don't give appropriate focus to all that he is, and that our love and gratitude, it's not that it disappears. It doesn't disappear. It just reduces. It's not quite what it ought to be. Can I suggest that this Christmas, very simply, Jesus deserves the best of our attention? He just deserves the best of our attention. Our challenge at this time of year is just to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed on all that he is. And I want to put it to you, our challenge is to never lose our wonder. I've called this message, don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your wonder. You know, some of you would know my son Isaiah. Others of you wouldn't know him, but my son Isaiah, he's 13 years old and he actually has a disability. And part of his disability is an intellectual disability. So the way that that manifests in him is that he still really enjoys a lot of very simple, very childlike sort of things, things that people his age would usually have well and truly grown out of. And one of the things that I have absolutely loved the most about raising my son Isaiah, there's been a lot of things to love about raising Isaiah, but I think hands down my favorite thing about, you know, getting the joy of being Isaiah's mom has been his sense of wonder. He just has an incredible sense of wonder. Like, you could give Isaiah a gift, and it could be a really rubbish gift. Like, you could give him a secondhand Happy Meal toy that was a little bit broken, or you could just give him, you know, any old thing, and he would think that it was amazing. He would think that it was just the most incredible thing that he had ever received. If you would just take a little bit of time with him and invest in him and take him out to show him planes in the sky, or take him to see some Christmas lights or some fireworks, it would just be like unbelievable, like the best thing that ever happened. He just has this unbelievable way of manifesting joy and manifesting celebration, literally like no one else I have encountered. It wouldn't actually matter how many times he'd received that same sort of gift or seen that same sort of thing. He can look at it like he was looking at it for the very first time. And across the years, he loves Christmas lights, as you've probably gathered. Across the years, Ken and I have always taken him around this time of year to see Christmas lights. That's what we would do, sometimes multiple times in a Christmas season. And he would watch the lights and we would just watch him. We would just enjoy watching the wonder and the delight on his face. Now, he's a teenager now, and we actually haven't been to see Christmas lights this year, but we were driving home from my parents-in-law's house a couple of weeks ago at nighttime, and as we came around the corner, there was one of those, like, over-the-top houses, you know what I'm saying? It's just got, like, every kind of light and decoration and ornament. Who has time for that? Has anyone got a house like that? Currently living in a bling Christmas house? No one. Okay, not in this room. No one got time for it in this room. But anyhow, it was one of those sorts of houses. And as I saw it, I was excited to show Isaiah. Now, he was in the back seat and he hadn't seen it because he had his head in his iPad, like most 13-year-old boys. But I pulled the car up and I was like, I got his attention. Isaiah, buddy, look at the Christmas lights. And I kid you not, he just like raises his head from his iPad and takes the teeniest, tiniest glance. And he's like, meh, and puts his head back in his iPad and keeps on. And I'm like, my heart broke a little bit. I'm like, no, like, don't lose your wonder. You know, just don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your capacity. Just look at something and celebrate and let the joy hit your heart. And I just feel like, you know, we need to take some cues from the pre-teenage Isaiah. We need to take some cues from who he used to be, and he's changing. Oh, dear. But we take some. Let's make him our wonder mentor. You know, that we would never allow the goodness of God that's right in front of us to get old. That we would never get over familiar with his presence. We'd never get over familiar with the fact that we get to do this. We have been chosen by him and appointed by him and named by him, that he loves us. Let's not lose our wonder that he's called us by name. Let's as many times as we would look upon him, let's let it be like the first time, that we would allow fresh joy to fill our heart, fresh wonder to grab us on the inside of us, our wonder mentor. You know, if we're going to maintain our wonder, who knows that that's not going to be accidental. We're going to have to be intentional. The Bible says, you know, in Colossians, it says, set your hearts on things above where Jesus is. It says, set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Hebrews 12 says something really similar. It says this. It says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How are we going to do that? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You know, setting your heart and setting your mind and keeping your eyes, those things don't happen automatically. They happen intentionally. And what's more, they are our responsibility. You know, like, I can't set your heart for you and you can't set my heart for me. You know what I'm saying? We have to all do that for ourselves and even cultivate an awareness of, well, what is getting my best attention? And asking yourself the own question, well, where is my heart set? And where is my mindset? And where what has my eyes been fixed on? And if the answer is something other than Christ, if the answer is away from the reality of God, then we just simply redirect our attention and shift our awareness and look and give our gaze back to Him. And with the time we've got left together tonight, you know, just 3 days out from Christmas, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to give Jesus the best of our attention. We're just going to gaze upon Him through preaching and in worship. We're just going to look again. We're going to behold, as the card in your handbag says. We're going to behold and take another look at Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to lose my wonder. You know, it's highly likely that almost everybody in the room would have thought at some stage across the last month about gifts, about presents, you know. You think about what you're going to buy, who you're going to buy for, where you're going to get, what you're going to buy, what you're going to get given, those sorts of things. There would be people that have shopped long and hard looking for the perfect gift. But let me put it to you that we should never lose our wonder at the fact that Jesus is the best gift that has ever been given. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Motivated by love, He gave His one and only Son. Where would your life be tonight if Jesus was never given? Just selah that for a minute. Where would your life be tonight if Jesus had not been given? I read somewhere recently that a perfect gift, in order to be considered a perfect gift, it needs to meet three basic criteria. The perfect gift, according to this blogger or whoever it was, you know, has to reflect the giver. It should say something about the person who's giving the gift, right? It needs to also, the second thing, a perfect gift needs to reflect the recipient. Now, that's pretty obvious. You know, it should reflect their tastes and their desires and a knowledge about them and what they would want and like. And finally, to give a perfect gift, it should be something that would retain its value over time. And what's really interesting is Jesus meets the criteria, all three criteria of what would consider to be a perfect gift. He reflects the giver. The Father gave the Son, and Jesus came to reveal and reflect the Son. The Son reflects the Father. He reflects the giver. He reflects the recipient, that is you and I, because Jesus is the answer to every single human need. He knows what you need. And also, He maintains His value in as much as there is no end to the power of the blood of Jesus and the victory that is the name of Jesus. It goes on and on, so that Jesus is and can be considered the most perfect gift that has ever been given, that will ever be given. Jesus is a perfect gift from God to you. Merry Christmas. Like, seriously. Merry Christmas. About 700 years before the birth of Jesus, so about 700 BC, the prophet Isaiah started prophesying and declaring this Jesus who would be given, this Jesus who would come. And we read in Isaiah chapter 9, isn't that mind-blowing? 700 years before Jesus was even born onto the earth, He said this. He said, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He will be called Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end." Speaking of Jesus, speaking of a promised Messiah, one who would come and deliver humanity from its sins. You know, from the moment sin entered into the human race in the Garden of Eden, God was so moved to restore us back into Himself that He put into place a plan to do that very thing, to restore us. The plan was Jesus. The plan was Jesus. And sure enough, as the prophet foretold, 700 years later, Christ did come. Unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. And when we go to the Gospels, you know, all these years after Isaiah prophesied, the Gospels that speak about the incarnation, God coming in the flesh, we get to know him. We get to know who he is. As we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see all his acts on earth. Can I put it to you? We must never lose our wonder at who Jesus is, at who he actually is. See, when he came in the flesh, he had two distinct natures about him. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. This in itself is an absolute wonder. He wasn't just a man, he was fully God and fully man. As fully God, we know that he is the second person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that he was present at that time of creation. In fact, he was even actively involved in creation, alive long before he was ever born. He was the object of all Old Testament revelation and the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy. And as fully God, he came to earth, conceived of the Holy Spirit in a virgin teenager's womb. John says the Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. It was in that place that he who was fully God became fully man. It wasn't that Jesus gave up his divine nature to put on a human nature. It was that he added a human nature to his already existing divine nature, so that two natures actually dwelt together, fully God and fully man. We see it in Book of Philippians chapter 2 when Paul writes, he says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, that's where it is, fully God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, God made himself nothing. What? You know, by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, fully man, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That God, that fully God, would become a helpless infant, that he would walk the earth, that he would face the rubbish, that he would take on the image of man, he would do that for us. This is an incredible mystery. Don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your wonder. See, as fully man, Jesus, our Savior, is completely relatable. As fully man, he grew up like we all grew up. As fully man, he understands your emotions. He understands what you're going through. He understands your suffering. You know, Isaiah tells us that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with suffering, acquainted with grief. Hebrews tells us that he is a high priest that is not out of touch with our reality. Your Savior is fully in touch with your reality. If you're struggling this Christmas, you're in good company. Your Savior struggled too. If your heart's a little bit broken, if you're a little bit hurting, you know, your Savior knows exactly what it is to have his heart broken and to hurt too. And we see in the gospel that these two natures of God, they lingered together. They dwelt together. You know, like when the storm came up on the seas, Jesus was in the boat. And as fully man, he was asleep on a pillow. But as fully God, he got up, rebuked the wind and wave, and brought peace into that storm. You know, when Lazarus died, as fully man, Jesus, so overwhelmed by the emotion of that situation, the Bible tells us Jesus wept. But as fully God, he got up and he rebuked death and he brought Lazarus back to life. Like, fully man means that Jesus knows each one of your needs. Fully God means that Jesus can meet every one of your needs. You know, he's not only your Lord and King, he's also your friend and brother. Don't lose your wonder. You know, the book of Isaiah tells us, you know, that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It's not that these were actually names that he would be called by, but according to Jewish tradition, all of these words reflect his nature. All of these words reflect his character. They speak to us about who he is. Do you know that there's nearly 200 names and titles of Jesus in the scripture, each one reflecting part of who he is and part of his nature? You know, if you're struggling at the moment to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, maybe just pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you a new facet of who he is. Maybe just bring to your heart and your mind a new name of Jesus that would speak to you right where you're at, that would be a part of his character, because all the lifetimes in the world would not be enough for you to plumb the depth of who he is. If you need a direction this Christmas, he's Wonderful Counselor. You know, if you're needing strength this Christmas, he is the Mighty God. If you're weak and tired this Christmas, he is a refuge in every storm. He's just that good that whatever you are and whatever you need and whatever state you're in heading into the new year, Jesus is enough for you. Jesus is enough for you, and he can he understands you as fully man, but as fully God, he can help you. He can help you. As the band comes back to join me, my final thought is, we must never lose our wonder for what he's done. We must never lose our wonder for what he's done. The purpose of Jesus living was actually dying. All men die, but the purpose of Jesus' life was actually to die. The book of Mark tells us that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We understand that he gave his life as a ransom for you and for me. We had no capacity in our own self to save ourselves. Who knows? We needed a savior. We needed someone. And Jesus was that savior, the sin-free Son of God, perfect, completely worthy, the only one worthy to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin. When John the Baptist saw him, he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That's exactly who Jesus is. And we know that as fully man, Jesus suffered a tremendous amount to go to the cross for us. As fully man, there was so much grief and heartache and turmoil that surrounded that week and those preceding times as his disciples deserted him. And as Judas betrayed him, and as Peter denied him, and as they wrongfully accused him, as fully man, the Bible tells us that he sweated drops of blood as he travailed in Gethsemane, that he bore the agony of the beatings, the agony of the cross. He did that all because of love for you and for I. As fully man, he went through all of that, but as fully God, he was raised to life again. As fully God, he conquered sin and death. As fully God, his once and for all victory means that you and I can have life and enjoy life, life even to the full. As we have sung tonight, there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Because of his death, because of his resurrection, you and I enjoy freedom, we enjoy forgiveness, we enjoy righteousness, our bodies are healed, we are made whole, we are righteous in him, assured of our salvation, assured of eternity, access to our Father. We must never lose our wonder at all that he is and all that he's done. We're just going to behold him together tonight. You can stand to your feet all over this place. You can put your things away. Even as I've tried to preach and tried to lead us into this place, I'm so aware that my words are inadequate. I'm so aware that there are no words that can just totally capture all that he is and accurately portray the greatness of our precious Savior Jesus. I think some of the best words ever penned in the history of time that I'm aware of are found embedded into the lyrics of some of the old hymns. And there's a hymn that I love. It's called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And it says this, you can close your eyes as I read this. It says, see from his head, see from his hands and his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, it would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. My soul, my life, my all. I think the writer of this psalm had it absolutely right, because when we gaze upon our Savior in wonder, our only natural response is to worship. When we look upon Him and wonder, in wonder, our only appropriate response is that we would return back to Him, worship. And the funny thing is that as we worship, it increases our wonder. As we worship, actually, the revelation goes deeper. And as we worship, the love just grows stronger. And we see clearer. And as we worship, it's not that we just have an intellectual knowledge of Him. It's that we begin to have an encounter with Him. And I just thought it would be such a good idea, just 3 days out from Christmas, to break out of the theory of who Jesus is and crack into some practice of just worshiping Him for who He is. And I've just asked Eunice to just sing us a few songs. And this is your moment, because maybe it has been busy. And maybe it has been chaotic and crazy, but you're not busy right now. And maybe it's been a challenge to give Him the best of your attention, but you can give Him, you can make a choice to give Him the best of your focus and the best of your attention right here and right now. You can make sure that this Christmas does not pass you by without having had a good, long, hard look at your precious Savior all over again. And I'm going to ask the band to lead me in just a moment, but if you need to take a posture of worship, I'm going to invite you to do so. What that looks like for you want to hit your knees, that's great. You want to raise your hands, that's great. You just want to stay silent, that's great. You want to come and worship out the front and just bend on knee in front of Him, before Him again, you do so. But in this moment, for these next 5 minutes or so, you're just going to give Him the very best of your attention in this place as Eunice begins to lead us. Come on, let's worship Him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.